May, are you there?
Oh,
Hi, Mary, you're there.
hi.
Wonderful.
Hi.
Diane, wonderful. I've got you. Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, how are
Beautiful.
you? Exciting.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
And Jodie, I can hear you. Is that right?
yep, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. And Diane's here and Mary's here.
Yes.
This is a
Yes.
miracle. I can't believe it. Here I am sitting in Sfat and everybody is all scattered all over the globe. Unbelievable. Let me see if I can
Exciting.
add in. Oh, Mia for some reason's not on. And I'll need to add in Julie. See if Julie's there. We're a couple of minutes early, so we've still got a few moments. No, Mia and Julie aren't here yet. Wow, Mary, I didn't know you lived in Texas. So does Mia, in
Yes.
fact. It's amazing.
Right in the heart of Texas, Austin, Texas. Yes, ma'am.
My gosh. Well, there you go. I read about Austin not so long ago in the National Geographic. It was very interesting. Oh, here's Mia. Okay, she's just popped up. So let's add Mia in. I think Amy's not going to be here today. Now, I do record the classes for anybody who sort of misses it or something. And I'm not sure if Dina's going to be here today either. Here's my speaker, it's a bit higher so I can actually hear something. All right, so Mia's just come on, so she should be able to connect in a second. Oh, it's thrilling, I'm so happy. Oh, Hashem. All right, well, we're all different people coming from very different backgrounds, but feel free to ask questions, be together with. Don't feel shy in any way whatsoever. It's a very open Sheol where people are really encouraged to be themselves. Oh, there's a nice picture from Mary. A sweetie picture. That's lovely. Very nice. Oh, let me just send this a message to Mia until I'm trying to connect. I don't quite know why it's not going through. It happens sometimes. Skype is interesting. Maybe it's not the best platform, but it's the one that everybody knows, and so therefore it's better to use it than not use it. Okay. Trying to connect won't go through. All right, I can send that and she knows what to do. She's pretty good on computers. Now, can everybody hear me okay? Everybody all right? Shout out if you
Yes.
can't.
Yeah. Yep.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you're very clear.
Wonderful, that's really a miracle. Right, well, let's just begin then and everybody just begin to feel at home together with each other, right? It takes a bit of a time, till we get to know each other a little better. So I've got my word open and I've got the prayer. I'd like to dedicate this learning to Michael Andrew, the son of Jennifer, and to Yaakov Eliyahu, the son of David and Jody. Who, very beautiful souls who had a tough time. All right. And we're going to start off with a prayer. And I'll read it first in Hebrew, and then I'm going to read it from in English. And it's a prayer which was actually composed by the great Kabbalist, the Ari. And it's a prayer we say before learning the Kabbalah. Ribono Olamim, Adonai Adonim. אב רחמן וסליחות, מודים אנחנו לפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, בקידה ובשתחוויה, שתרחנו לתורתך ולעבודת עבודת הקודש, ונתת לנו חלק בסודות תורתך הקדושה, מה אנו ומה חיינו, אשר עשית עמנו חסד גדול כזה. על כן אנחנו מפילים תחנוננו לפניך, שתמחול ותסלח לכל חטאותינו ועוונותינו, והיו עוונותינו מבדילים בינינו לביניך. וכן יהיו רצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ואלוהי אבותינו, שתכונן את לבבינו לרצך ולעברתך, ותקשיב אוזניך לדברינו אלה, תפתח לבבינו הערל בסודות תורתך, ולימודנו זה נחת רוח, לפני כסא כבודך כרך ניחוח, ותציל עלינו אור מקור נשמתנו בכל בחינתנו, ושיתנוצצו ניצוצות עבדיך הקדושים, אשר על ידם גלית דבריך אלה בעולם, וזכותם וזכות אבותם, וזכות תורתם ותמימותם וקדושתם, יעמוד לנו לבל ניכשל בדברים אלו. ובזכותם תראה עינינו במה שאנו לומדים, כמו מנעים זמירות ישראל, גל עיני והביט הנפלאות מתורתך, כי ה' תן חוכמה מפי דעת ותבונה, יהיו לו רצון עם רפי, והגיון לי בלפניך, ה' צורי וגואלי. Amen. Can you add someone? Oh, Amy's just come online. Wonderful. Let me add Amy in. A second. Oh, here we go. Amy. And no, I'm calling Amy that way. And Elena. I have to call Elena. I forgot to call Elena. It wasn't me. I had a good call. There we go. Very good. All right. So I'm adding in Amy and Elena as well, who are both people living in Sfat. All right. Let's try. All right. The first few times. Until we get everybody organized with Skype, it takes a few times. Okay, Amy, you're there. Wonderful.
I'm on board. I just walked in the door.
Perfect. Amazing. Wonderful. Let me just call Elena because I forgot to call her, which wasn't very nice.
Hello.
Oh, good. You're wonderful. You're there. Terrific. Hi, Elena.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Baruch Hashem, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov.
Amen. So
we've got a lovely full class. Mary from Texas, Jody from Minneapolis, but I think you might be in Tel Aviv still at the moment. Amy is in Sfat right now, but she's usually in Florida. Diane is from Vancouver. Mia's also from Texas. And Elena, you're in Sfat. And I'm in Sfat. So it's beautiful. Now we're going to read the prayer. We're dedicating the shiur to two lovely young men who passed away after having had a difficult time.
Dita, could I also dedicate the shiur to someone?
Yes, of course, with pleasure.
Okay, let me know when you need the name.
Yeah, tell me now.
It's for someone who's going to be delivering a baby, like any moment.
Oh, lovely.
Is that okay?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so her name is Rivka Metzilach Tichia Bat Liba Chana.
Okay, so that she should have an easy and safe delivery and be delivered of a beautiful baby. So it's Rivka, Rivka Tasia.
Metzilach Techaya.
Metzilach Techaya.
Liva Chana.
Okay, Rivka Tasila Metzila.
Metzilach Techaya. Bat Liva Chana.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I also include my cousin who's fighting a battle of cancer right now?
Yeah, of course.
And her name is Ashley Levy. I have no idea what her Hebrew name is.
Okay, Ashley Levy.
Levy.
Ashley Levy. For Shalema. Okay. Amen. And then we're going to say the Ari's prayer in English. Master of the universe and Lord of lords, Father of mercy and forgiveness, we give thanks before you, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, by bowing the head and in prostration, that you've brought us near to your Torah and to your service, the holiest of services. And you've given us a portion in the inner meanings of your holy Torah. What are we, and what is our life, that you've dealt with us in such a great kindness as this? Therefore we lay our supplication before you, that you forgive and pardon all our sins and iniquities, so that our iniquities should not separate us from you. And may it be your will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, that you ready our hearts to have reverence of you and love of you. And may your ears listen to these our words. Please open our uncircumcised heart to the inner meanings of your Torah, and let this our learning rise up in satisfaction before the throne of your glory as a sweet-smelling fragrance. May you bestow upon us the light of the source of our soul in all our aspects, and may the sparks of your holy servants, for whom you revealed these your words into the world, shine forth, and may their merit and the merit of their fathers and the merit of their Torah and their wholeness and their holiness stand by us, that we should not stumble in these words. And through their merit, may you enlighten our eyes in what we are learning. As the sweet singer of Israel said, open my eyes, and I will look on the wonders of your Torah. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, knowledge and understanding. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be ever acceptable before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Very good. Wonderful. Now, the introduction that we're going to be learning is an introduction which Rabbi Ashlag wrote to his great work of the Ari. He wrote a wonderful work, an amazing work, called the Talmud Esar Sfirot, which describes the interaction between the goodness of God and the desire for the goodness of God, the goodness being the light in the language of Kabbalah, and the desire for his goodness being called the vessel. And it's this incredible dynamic which evolves from the infinite, the Ein Sof, which is the highest possible level, through the worlds, down all the way to this world here. And it's an incredible dynamic. Now, you would think that in the introduction that he wrote to this work, and it's a huge work, it's 16 volumes, he would write about that dynamic. But what's fascinating is he doesn't. He writes about something very different. His whole focus on this introduction is, what is the Torah? What is its final destination? Where is it leading us to? How do we receive it? And what is its pathway? And it's quite a jump from this incredible introduction to the work itself. It's like, wait a minute, what's one thing got to do with the other? And I think I would like to just have that as a question. We're going to explore that question. What is the Torah? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for us in our daily lives, in where we're aiming for, in our overall plan for our life? And ultimately, how we receive the light of God. And then we'll be able to see the connection between the work of the Ari himself and the great commentary that Rabbi Ashlag wrote on that and this introduction. Now, the introductions are written in a deceptively simple way. I mean, they're always the first things that people begin with when they learn the work of Rabbi Ashlag. But as me and Jody will testify, we've just finished learning the introduction to the Zohar, which is another one that Rabbi Ashlag wrote, and it took us a couple of years. We went into it extremely deeply. These introductions are very, very multi-layered indeed, and we can take them at any level we feel right for us, okay? So I like to take it slowly, all right? And everybody can take it as slowly. We can take it as slowly as it suits us. There's no place to rush. Now, last week, I actually did like a first preliminary lesson last week in this introduction until it actually occurred to me that I should open it all up. I mean, why am I just doing it with Jody and Mia? We could open it up to a lot of people. So we just did the first preface, in which Rabbi Ashlag asks questions on why should people learn the Kabbalah. But since we're already here and we've already decided we want to learn the Kabbalah, it's okay for us to skip those questions. But the very last question, he says, is if we ask one question and one question only, then we'll get the answer. And the question he asks is, what is the purpose of our life? Why do we live this life? Why are we here? And what purpose do we want to put in it? And he says, and if we're really asking that question, then any doubts that we have about learning the Kabbalah vanish as if they've never been. And that's where we got up to last time. So this time, we're going to open, he opens his discussion. This is where his discussion actually begins. And Rabbi Ashlag opens his discourse in describing the life of happiness, tranquility, nachat. I don't know how you even say nachat in English. Like, woo, feels good. Equanimity, that is the portion of a person who attains the high level of Torah. That is to say, he's living his life according to the Torah's true purpose, which is to come to dveikut with God. And the word dveikut means unity with God, being one with him. Just as he is compassionate and merciful, so we need to be compassionate and merciful too. And when we act in similar ways to the way God acts, then we are in dveikut with him. Now, it's not a simple issue, as we're going to discover, because we often don't see God as acting in that way. However, that's an issue for another time, or it might come up in today's lesson. Rabbi Ashlag begins his whole introduction with describing the end. He's describing the final finish. A person's got there. He's reached it. He's reached this incredible unity with God. He's attained Torah as its destination. Now, what does that actually mean, attaining Torah as a destination? In an article that we're going to be learning as we go along, written by his son, Rabbi Baruch Ashlag, we find that in the garments of the Torah is hidden the wearer of the Torah. And the wearer of these garments is God himself. When we come to our deepest, deepest, deepest essence of Torah, we find God there. And that all along, it is God himself who is clothed in the garments of Torah. Now, there's many, many, many different levels of practice, learning and practicing Torah, but the ultimate destination is to come to this incredible essence of Torah, which is God himself. And that's what he's speaking about as being its destination. So what he writes, and I'm reading now from the material I sent, the Madrigat HaSegat HaTorah, Hakdama LaTalmud Eser Sfirot, Ot Gimel. Achen, lepitaron chida sduma zo diber kotuv. טעמו וראו כי טוב השם, אשרי הגבר יחסר בו, from Tehillim, כי מקיימי התורה והמצוות כלחתן, which is לשמה, ללא תועלת עצמו. הם התואמים את הטעם חיים, והם הרואים ומעידים כי טוב השם. כמו שאמרו חז"ל, שברא העולמות כדי להיטיב לנבראיו, מעץ חיים שער כללים, פרק א', היא מדרך הטוב להיטיב. However, the solution to this impossible riddle, the scripture speaks. The impossible riddle is, what is the purpose of our lives? That's the riddle he's asked. And the scripture says, taste and see that God is good. Happy is the man who takes shelter in him. From Psalms. For those who fulfill the Torah and the mitzvot, according to their proper way, which is for its own sake, for the sake of the Torah, and not for their own self-use, they taste the taste of life, and they see and give testimony that God is good. As the sages have said, he created the worlds in order to give goodness to the created beings. And that's from the Ari, the Eitz Chaim of the Ari. For it is the way of the good to do good. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this paragraph, certainly when I first read it, I found it a total mystery. Because how many of us can really taste and see that God is good? We go through pain and suffering. We go through ups and downs. We go through sorrows. We go through heartbreak. How do we taste and see that God is good? Most of us might get glimpses of that, but we don't get that. Taste and see that God is good. So he answers his question, or the hidden question in there. He's saying, who is the scripture talking about? Taste and see that God is good? Wait a minute, who are you talking about? And he's saying, those who fulfill the Torah and the mitzvot in its proper way, they taste the taste of life. They're the ones who can see and give testimony that God is good. Now, we need to actually look at that rather carefully. Is he meaning that only people who are very religious and, you know, dress in black and got long beards are the ones who can taste and see that God is good? Those are the ones who keep the Torah and mitzvot. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, kihilchatan, according to their true rule. Now, the true rule is to do whatever we do unconditionally. That's the key. None of us, nobody, can keep the whole of the Torah and mitzvot. Nobody. There are some people, there are some mitzvot, which are can only be kept by a king. There are other mitzvot which are kept by women and not by men. There are some mitzvot which are only kept by men and not by a woman, not by women. There are some mitzvot which can only be kept in the land of Israel. There are some mitzvot which can only be kept if you're living at the time when the temple was built. So if we look at that, you can see that however religious we are, there isn't any possibility whatsoever of any one person fulfilling all the Torah and mitzvot. Because you can't. Okay? So what does it mean? It means whatever we do, try to do it from a clean a place as possible. Now, what does that mean? It means without trying to see what reward I get for it. Now, that's not actually a very easy task, because all of us were born with the will to receive for ourselves alone, which is otherwise known as the ego, which is the way the world runs, that we all have a core of selfish love, which tends to drive us in the world. Now, we learn in the other introduction, in the introduction to the Zohar, which is in Tapestry, or also in the Shadow of the Ladder, that there's a purpose for it. There's a lot of purposes for that, in fact, that we need to have that so that we have a choice. We have that ego, we have that will to receive for ourselves alone, so we can one day transform it and bring it into God's service. But because it's there, doing any movement, any action whatsoever for ourselves, for unconditionally, is very hard for us. Okay? So he's saying, when we actually can manage to do whatever we do in Torah and mitzvot, unconditionally, then we will begin to taste and see that God is good. Now, you might be wondering what's included in Torah and mitzvot. Well, anything that comes under the issue of love your neighbor as yourself. Also, don't do to others what you yourself don't want done to you. Those sort of are general rules which encompass all the mitzvot which are conducted between man and his fellow. And then you have the mitzvot which are conducted between man and God, which are the mitzvot of do-dos, of Shabbat, of kashrut, of prayer, of the festivals. And everybody here on this call has a different level of observance from one end to the other, okay? So everybody can just feel where they fit along the spectrum, okay? And like I say, there is nobody who keeps everything because it's not possible. All of us keep some things, okay? But together, we probably keep quite a lot between us. And that's a very important point. Kol Yisrael arevim zeh lezeh. All the children of Israel are guarantors for each other. In other words, when I do manage to do a mitzvah, I'm not doing it just for myself. I'm doing it for all the other people, all the other children of Israel who also need that mitzvah. Because we are all guarantors for each other. Kol Yisrael arevim zeh lezeh. So whenever we manage to say a kind word or give somebody in the supermarket a smile or whatever it happens to be, or do one of the mitzvahs between man and God, we should know we're not doing it on our own. We're doing it together and for anybody else who needs that mitzvah. So together we all complete. Okay. Now, people are actually able to fulfill a mitzvah Torah, learn the Torah, feel the Torah inside them, and do the mitzvah unconditionally without selfish motives getting involved. They're the ones who taste the taste of life. And they can see and testify that God is good. As the sages have said, who created, he created the worlds in order to give goodness to the created beings. From the Ari, because it is in the nature of the one who is good to do good. Any questions, points, ideas?
I had asked you last week, this is Amy.
Yeah.
I had asked, when you talked about us being clothed in by God and Torah, whether we were on the coattails or whether we were sheltered under the cloak, which are very different ways of relating to somebody in clothing. And I think what you read today might insinuate that we are under the cloak, because I think you mentioned shelter, that we were under the cloak of God rather than hanging on to his coattails. Would I be correct in that?
I think that there's a, I think it's a process, quite honestly, Amy. And I think that process is actually discussed in this introduction. I mean, here he's looking at the end stage, you know, like he's looking at somebody who's really reached that full place of tasting and seeing that God is good. Then you're absolutely right. There he's like clothed in the Torah. He's in the Torah. He's in that essence. He's joined. His soul is joined with that of God's. Rabbi Ashlag writes an amazing thing. He says somebody who actually reaches that can feel and sense God's thoughts in a way, just as he could when he was a soul before he came down into the body. Because he's rejoined with God. It's quite extraordinary. I was reading that. You know, I'm doing this book I'm translating, and I was actually translating that yesterday. If I can find where I put it, I'll read it to you. Where did I put it? Oh, here, hold on a second. Maybe it's this. Where are we? An extraordinary piece. Yes. Here we are. I think this actually answers your question. You know what, actually, this whole piece is relevant for us. Like, actually, what is Dvekut? Let me just read this piece, and then I'll send it to you as an email attachment. I'll send it to everybody. It's a talk that Rabbi Ashlag gave in Meiron at the end of his writing the commentary of the Zohar. It's most amazing. Let me just read this, and this is definitely what we're talking about. The concept of Dvekut is understood by us with respect to physical entities that occupy space by them coming together, mutual proximity. And separation is understood by us through distance. But for spiritual entities that don't occupy any space at all, being together or being separate is not determined by physical closeness or distance, but whether there is an affinity of form, which is similarity of desire between them. Affinity of form implies dvekut, unity, whereas change of form implies separation between spiritual entities. For example, when two people hate each other, they're actually as far apart from each other as the East is from West. If they love each other, Then they cleave to each other. They're individual, as if they were one. We're not talking about physical closeness or distance, but we're talking about whether they embody affinity of form, similarity of desire, or change of form, difference of desire. Okay? So we can see from this that when a person, I'm just saying what's not written here, saying that when a person really come to that unity with Torah, he's like, him and God are in love. They're in loving each other. There's this incredible love flowing between them. Okay. And it goes on, Rabbi Asher goes on to say, we can understand how right were the words of the sages who interpreted the mitzvah of being in Dveikut with him as being one with his attributes. The scripture states, but surely keep all this commandment that I am commanding you to do it, to love the Lord your God in all his ways, and to be in Dveikut with him. And the sages asked, but how may a person unite with him? Behold, he is a consuming fire. But be one with his qualities. Just as he is merciful, so you be merciful. Just as he is compassionate, so you be compassionate. The sages were not interpreting the scripture, but simply explaining it. It's through our equating our form with the form of his qualities that we become in Dveikut with him. And this is what the sages said, just as he is merciful. That is to say, just as all his deeds are only to be of benefit and help to the created beings, and not for his use at all. For he may be blessed, has no lack that would need to be fulfilled, and from whom could he receive? So should your acts be directed only towards giving benefit and help to each other. This is spiritual Dveikut. And then, Amy, this is the bit you asked. Prior to its creation, every soul was included and is included in the essence of God. But with the act of creation, which involves implanting within the soul the desire of receiving pleasure, the soul acquires a change of form that separates it from God. May the one be blessed. That's what we call the ego. For change of form separates spiritual entities, just like a blade separates physical entities. And we find that the soul is now likened to a limb that has been severed from the body and is separated from it. Prior to the separation, the limb was part of the body as a whole, and they were one, exchanging thoughts and feelings with each other. But now that the limb is severed from the body, they become two domains, not knowing the thoughts of the other or its needs. In this way, once the soul has been clothed in the body that pertains to this world, all the connections that it had before it separated from God's essence have ceased, and the soul and the creator have become as two separate domains. Thus, the virtue of a person who has again merited to acquire Dveikut with God is self-evident. He's merited to affinity of form with the creator, may he be blessed. Through the power of the Torah and the mitzvot, he's transformed his will to receive that is stamped within him, which had separated him from God's essence, into the will to give benefit. So now all his deeds and all his mitzvot are performed only for the sake of giving benefit and of use to his fellow. He's made his form equivalent to that of his maker. He's like a limb that was once cut off from the body and has now rejoined the body. He knows again the thoughts of the body, just as he did before he was separated from it. Likewise, the soul, once it's acquired equivalence of form with the Creator, may he be blessed, then it again knows God's thoughts, just as it did before it was separated from him by reason of the change of form. And then the scripture is fulfilled, know the God of your father. For then the person merits to full intimate knowledge. He merits all the inner meanings of the Torah. For God's thoughts, may the one be blessed, are the inner meanings of the Torah. Okay. Amy, do you see what I'm saying? What he's saying here? That was quite a long piece to read out, and I hope my guys managed to sort of like somehow get it without sort of falling asleep in the middle. But
somehow it sounded a little bit like a tweed, where you have two different colors that are tweeded together. They're joined. But then it sounded, I'm still using the clothing analogy, but then it sounded like the inner lining and the outer lining of a coat.
I think what we need to do is kind of like just go with what he's saying. I wouldn't give too much analogies here. I mean, what I understood from your question is that your question was, are we on God's coattails or are we inside the garment? It's a process. We start off like a limb severed from the body, which doesn't know any longer the thoughts and feelings of the body. Ultimately, we become rejoined with our source. And then when we're rejoined with the source, we know intimately the thoughts and feelings of God who created us. To me, that's a much more dynamic image. Because the idea of exchanging thoughts and feelings is a very live one, it's a very dynamic one. And I don't think there's one answer to your question. I think it's a continuum, it's a process. And we're somewhere along that continuum. And everybody could be, you know, somewhere slightly different along there. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you. I think I understand.
Great, wonderful. Very good. It was a very good question and certainly led us into a very interesting place. And I'll send everybody that piece after the class. Anybody else got some thoughts they want to share or questions or ideas? No? All right, then. Very good. So somebody who's reached this place of being able to really fulfill the Torah and mitzvot according to their true way, like he's really transformed himself and become rejoined with God, can now taste and see that God is good. Because he actually now knows and understands in the most intimate way that God's thoughts, feelings, and intentions. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, when I first started to look at this piece from the Talmud SSV, from the introduction that we've just read, I was very struck by its relationship with the chapter called Kinyan Torah, which is the sixth chapter of the Ethics of the Fathers. And it's an additional chapter of Ethics of the Fathers that appears in Avot de Rabbi Natan, which we read the last week before the Festival of Shavuot, before the receiving of the Torah. And I was absolutely bowled over by how this chapter of Ethics of the Fathers and Rabbi Ashlag's work in this introduction seem to somehow relate to each other like a conversation. It's like a conversation going on. And so I want to read now together, I mean, that's the next piece that's on the material you got. It says Mishneh Avot, Perek Vav, Mishneh Aleph. The very first Mishnah, that's the first, you know, section in the Pirkei Avot, Ethics of the Fathers, on that chapter, which is the last chapter, describes again, in the language of the sages, what a person who's truly merited to come to this stage of Torah would actually experience. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Ha'osek Lishma, Sokol Kol Ha'osek B'Torah Lishma, Zocheh L'Dvrim Harbeh, V'lo Od, אל שכל העולם כולו כדאי הוא לו, נקרא ריה, אהוב, אוהב את המקום, אוהב את הבריות, משמח את המקום, משמח את הבריות, ומלבשתו ענווה ויראה, ומחשבתו להיות צדיק, חסיד, ישר ונאמן, מרחקתו מן החטא, ומקרבתו לידי זכות, ונהנים ממנו עצה ותושייה, בינה וגבורה, שנאמר לי עצה ותושייה, אני בינה לי גבורה, ונותנת לו מלכות וממשלה וחוקו דין, ומגלין לו רזי תורה, ונעשה כמעיין המתגבר, וכנהר שאינו פוסק, רבי צנוע ואורך רוח, ומוכל על עלבונו, ומגדלתו ומרוממותו על כל המעשים. Rabbi Meir says, whoever practices the Torah for its own sake merits to many things. And not only that, but the whole world, the whole wide world, becomes worthwhile for him. He's called a friend, beloved, one who loves God, one who loves his fellow creatures, one who gives happiness to God, one who gives happiness to his fellow creatures. He's clothed in humility and reverence. He's fit to be a tzaddik, pious, righteous, and faithful. He keeps far from sin, or it could mean he keeps others far from sin, and he's brought close to merit. Others enjoy from him counsel, steadfastness, understanding, and resolution. As it says, I have counsel and steadfastness. I am understanding. I have resolution. There is given to him governance and sovereignty, the power to investigate judgment, and to him is revealed the inner meanings of the Torah, and he becomes like an overflowing spring and like a river which does not cease. He's modest and long-suffering, forgives any insult, and is raised up and magnified over all created beings. Personally, I think one needs to stick that on one's fridge.
That's great.
Huh? Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So I think it's a good place to stick it.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just an amazing piece. You know, it's not only his relationship with God that becomes so whole. It's also his relationship with other people, which is just amazing. He's called friend, beloved, one who loves God, one who loves one's fellow creatures. That's an amazing thing. It's not easy to love the next door neighbor or the difficult relative or the whatever, or the guy, in the bank clerk or whoever it happens to be who pressed our buttons. We all have, the difficulties. But look where he gets to. One who loves his fellow creatures. Amen. May we get there. Amen, 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 amen.
It read to me like a Rumi poem.
Mm.
It was very beautiful. But, it's you know, the the interesting part of that is that sometimes when people get to that place, the religion falls away, like the rules.
Does it or doesn't it?
That's what happened to Rumi.
To Rumi? I don't know much about him, actually. He was a Sufi poet, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. I think... I don't know. I mean, I'm working on this biography of Rabbi Ashlag. And he did keep, I mean, he got there, there's no doubt about it. Rabbi Ashlag himself got to enlightenment at a very, very, very young age. Probably round about the age of 22. Incredibly young. And he got to this incredible enlightenment, but he kept Torah and mitzvot all his life. I think that the Torah itself doesn't remain, like what you're saying, it doesn't remain as an outer form. That's true. No, it doesn't remain as an outer form, but I think there is an inner meaning to each mitzvah, which the higher a person goes, the more he can penetrate that mitzvah. I think that's very unique to Torah, I have to say.
Beautiful.
Rabbi Ashlag writes in a different place. One second, I'm just going to push the radiator away from me. It was cold before, and now it's too hot. There we go. Rabbi Ashlag writes in a different place that all the mitzvot of the Torah have a potential and an actual aspect to them. Now, the potential is when we're doing them and we haven't yet grasped their inner meanings. And the Zohar actually calls them at that time advice. He says that these mitzvot are actually pieces of advice, good advice, which will help us on our way. But the actualization of the mitzvah is when we actually are doing it for its own sake and we've reached a different level of doing it, is when we actually find a deposit of light present in each mitzvah, which corresponds to light of the soul. Each mitzvah has a corresponding aspect of light, as the soul has. So he calls those pikudin, which means deposits. And also in Aramaic, it means mitzvahs. So the mitzvah itself can transform from being simply something one does in order to get to somewhere, to actually being a vessel of light, a light deposit vessel, a vessel of light deposited there. Okay. So I think that Rabbi Ashlag, if I'm certain from what he writes in the Zohar, in the Peirush HaSulam on the Zohar, in his commentary on the Zohar, he writes about this deposit of light in the Zohar. I'm sorry, somebody's just knocking at the door. He's come at the wrong time. One moment. Okay, I'm back. Right. All right. That's life. All right then. So does that fit with what you were saying, Alina?
Yeah, very much.
Beautiful. Very good indeed. All right then. So when we look further on the next piece, Rabbi Ashlag talks about the life which is in Torah, Hachayim Shebatorah. And the word life in the work of Rabbi Ashlag relates to Dveikut, which is unity with God, and connection with the creator of the universe. And this is what he writes. In the Haktamah L'Talmud Esra Sefirot, in the next piece, it's on page 18, those who've got the Hebrew, towards the bottom of the page. Aval v'day, mi she'adayin lo ta'am et ha'chayim shekiyum Torah mitzvot, hu lo yachol la'avin u'lahagish ki tov Hashem, k'divrei Chazal. ואינו חש אשר כל הכוונה של השם יתברך בבוראו הייתה רק להיטיב לו. ועל כן אין לו עצה אחרת אם הוא רוצה למצוא את טעם חייו, אלא ללכת ולקיים התורה והמצוות כהלכתם. זאת אומרת, לשמה ולא לתועלת עצמו חס ושלום. But certainly, whoever has not yet tasted the life of the fulfillment of Torah and Mitzvot, he can't understand and feel that God is good, as the sages have said. And he can't sense that God's intention, may he be blessed, in all in his creation was only to give benefit to it. And therefore, the counsel is that if he wants to find the reason for his life, he needs to go and fulfill the Torah and the mitzvot for the sake of giving unconditionally and not for his own self-use. V'ze shekatuv b'Torah, b'parashat Nitzavim, ra'ei natati lefanech hayom et ha'chayim ve'et ha'tov. ואת המוות ואת הרע. אשר אנוכי מצווך היום לאהבה את השם אלוקיך, ללכת בדרכיו ולשמוע מצוותיו וחוקותיו ומשפטיו, וחיית ורבית וביראך השם אלוקיך בארץ אשר אתה בא שמה למשתה. ואם יפנה לבבך ולא תשמע, ונידחת והשתחווית לאלוהים אחרים ועבדתם, הגדתי לכם היום, כאבותו ויתון, לא תאריכו נעמים על אדמה אשר אתה עובר את הידן לבוא שמה לרשתה. הידותי בכם היום את השמיים ואת הארץ, החיים והמוות נתתי לפניך, הברכה והכללה, ובחרת בחיים למען תחיה, אתה וזרעך, לאהבה את השם לוקחה, לשמוע בקולו ולדבוק בו, כי הוא חייך ואורך ימיך, לשבת על אדמה אשר נשבע השם לאבותיך, לאברהם, ליצחק וליעקב, לתת להם. And this is what the scripture says in Deuteronomy, in the Parsha Nitzavim. See, I put before you today life and good, or death and evil, which I'm commanding you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes. And then you will live and multiply and bless the Lord your God in the land where you are coming there to inherit it. But if you turn your heart and don't listen, then you will be rejected, or you get reject yourself and bow down to other gods and worship them. Then I tell you today that you'll surely get lost, and you won't have length of days on the land where you're going over the Jordan to come there to possess it. I give you testimony today. I put before you as witnesses today the heaven and the earth, that I'm setting before you life and death, blessing and curse, and choose life in order that you should live, you and your seed. Love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and become one with him, because he is your life and the length of your days, to dwell in the land which the Lord your God swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Now, when Rabbi Ashlag talks about the land, when the Torah talks about the land, Rabbi Ashlag teaches that he means the ultimate life of unity with God, which is only receiving from all the goodness that God wants to give us, only for the sake of giving. That's the Eretz Israel. Eretz is the desire, the land. In the Kabbalah, Eretz means desire, and Yisrael is the soul, the land which is Yashar El, straight to God. So what he's saying is, when you come into unity with your own soul, which is the God within you, all right, then that's then you'll be one with God, and you walk in his ways, and then you come to that land. In other words, the land of Israel in the Kabbalah means the land of the soul, the area where the desire, which is the vessel within us, of that unity with that with God, that straight to God. But if you turn your heart away, now your heart is also, you know, the you put your heart in your chest, but in the Kabbalah, the heart actually means your desire, your will. If you turn your will away, and instead of looking for God, you start looking for other things, like money. Money's the big one, isn't it, these days? Very material. The world's become very, very material. Also, people are suffering because they don't have enough. So you've got this, you know, this huge gaps, you know, of people, you know, going, so many people have like got huge, huge, huge sums, and so many other people don't have enough. It's all gone mad, okay? And it's become another God, all right? There's so many other gods, you know, internet. It could be any of those things, all right? And you instead of looking for God, you're looking for other things. Then I'm telling you today that you're not going to get there. You're simply not going to get to this land of the soul. All right? And I bring to a testimony today, the heaven and the earth. The heaven is like the will of God above, and the earth is its manifestation for us here. Life, which is connection with God, and death, which is disconnection with God, and I'm placing them both before you today. So choose life, that you and your children after you will live. Now, many of us are already, you know, all elderly, and our children have already grown up, and not necessarily, you know, are we able to help change things that have already been done. We can only come to God when we come to God. And many of us of our age have, you know, quite a lot of grief around that. And all I can say is, for some reason, it's God's agenda. He woke us up when he woke us up. He brings us to this material when he brings us to this material. And however much I also would like to say, oh, I wish, I can't. But there's another place where we can help our children. And that is, we are all one soul. All of us together make up the one soul of Adam. And when we ourselves, no matter where we are in our lives, change even a little bit, do one bit in spirituality, we're helping all the souls who are connected with us. And all the souls go up together. There's no such thing as working on oneself in isolation. It doesn't exist. We are all in it together. So when we are able to do one tiny thing, one action, one choosing for life, we are choosing for our children too. So no matter where we are in our life cycle, we can still give to our children. Okay? And to all those who will be coming after us, even after we're gone. Because those who come after us are still our children. Okay? To love the Lord your God, to listen to his voice, and to cling to him in unity. For he is your life and the length of your days. To dwell on the land, like in that realm of goodness, of tasting that God is good, which God swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. Because that's the blessing he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The blessing of the redemption. The blessing of coming again to God. One more bit. Now, I'm a bit past the time. Has anybody got to zoom off? Are you all okay for another few moments?
Well, I do need... This is Marianne. I do need to go to work.
You need to go to work. All right, then. So I'll tell you what, then. Let's stop now, then. And I'll mark the place to begin again from here next time. All right? Yeah, because I don't want anybody to miss because they got to go off to work. It's fair enough. And Mia's also got to go. She's gone already.
Okay. Thank you so much.
It was Thank wonderful. You.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, Thank you. Everybody, you know, please feel free, ask your questions. You can send me emails during the week if something, you know, comes up that you want to talk about. All right, I hope you all enjoyed it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you all for being. Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Okay, bye then. Okay. Okay, Jodie.